We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're dialed in. Yeah, we're dialed in. You know, I mean, it's just the way of the world now. You know, you don't get to choose things all the time. And we had a plan, you know what I mean? And my plan was to let them know Monday morning. But then, you know, just to get that okay, this is what's happening and it's out. You know, I thought it was important that they heard it from me and from Wes than anybody else. And so we did the best we could with that. And you know, it stinks a little bit from the standpoint of like, they just won a championship, you know, like that's what it should be about. And I think Wes would tell you that too, you know. But we dealt with it well, I thought. We had another meeting and briefly talked, and we're locked and loaded for now and moving forward with those pitchers. We're good to go. Having great player leadership helps, you know, with guys like Paul and Ty, you know, take jump into the front and we'll be dialed in. That's, you know, with young people, the good thing about them is nothing usually lasts too long. And that's a good thing. That's a really good thing. And we're in a good spot with all that.
Back here on Sports Talk, Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long. That was Jay Johnson talking about the imminent departure of Wes Johnson, LSU baseball's pitching coach. Only been there one season. It was a splash hire, came down from the Twins organization. You don't typically see Major League Baseball coaches coming down to the college level. You usually see it going the other direction. But that's what's going to happen. He's going to depart and become the Georgia baseball head coach, taking over for a guy who's been there for a decade. You know, he's sticking around throughout this postseason for LSU baseball. Yeah, and, you know, the way the news came out, I think, was a little awkward. It was reported right after LSU won the regional, which makes you wonder if there was some embargo on it of like, okay, you can report this once that series ends. And that's what happened. But, you know, it's something to watch. I mean, it might get awkward. I don't think it will, but there's a chance. You know, Paul Skeens, I think, is kind of on autopilot in terms of there's only so much you can do as a pitching coach. But, you know, it's going to be something to keep in mind.
Yeah, no, I think with how I kind of view it, when Jay was talking about it after the game, like, I think that question was asked to him about, you know, how awkward it would be. And it's just like, I've known it for multiple days.
I think he said 5 days. Yeah.
Right. So that's exactly what happened. There was probably an embargo about waiting until after the regional was over to be able to post it and like leak it out to the world, so to speak. I don't think it's going to be too awkward with Wes and Coach Johnson. Jay Johnson's had nothing but good things to say about Wes Johnson. And I think it's almost like, wish you all the best, but let's win a championship before you go, so to speak. And I think that's what they're really focused on. I know that Wes is going to be sticking through the whole time, the whole run, hopefully to Omaha. He's not going anywhere until, you know, the season's over.
Right.
So, you know, they're going to see how far they can get with him.
And I think this is probably always the plan for Wes, right? Like, I don't think you come down from a Major League Baseball pitching coach job to a college pitching coach job unless your goal is to be a head coach, because that's kind of just, you need to be in the realm and then you're in consideration. Because I don't think he could have come down from MLB pitching coach job and just been immediately considered for an SEC head coaching job. Maybe you would have, but I think being a part of this LSU team and pitching and leading Paul Skeens and the LSU staff to the success they had this year, despite all the injuries, I think that really kind of made him a shoe-in for the next.
And this is the second straight season of Jay Johnson having to deal with that. Like, he's only been here for 2 years, and this is going to be his third pitching coach.
Yep.
Because Jason Kelly got hired on by Washington. Washington made a regional this year. Obviously, they were in, I believe it was the Oklahoma State regional that was so crazy, like with the Oral Roberts and Dallas Baptist. So he's obviously been doing a good job over there. And then now Wes is going over to Georgia. So, yeah, Coach Johnson's going to have to find another pitching coach. But once again, I think this is a mature team. I don't think there's going to be any drama. We actually had someone that called in earlier and wanted me to ask this question. And I'll kind of give my thoughts on it. And I think, Jeff, you and I agree that with Wes going to Georgia, is there anything in place of him not taking some of the talent from LSU with him pitching talent to go to Georgia. And there's not. I mean, he could very well do it.
Rules-wise, there's not.
Rules-wise, correct. There's nothing in place that says that Wes Johnson can't, with him going to Georgia in the offseason, say, I want this pitcher to come with me, or I want this guy to come with me.
He might have a handshake agreement with Jay Johnson that he won't try to bare bones pilfer his staff, but there's nothing Jay could do to prevent that. And in fairness, Jay just, he didn't leave the cupboard with anything in it when he came over from Arizona. You know,
yeah.
he got his transfers too. So, you know, that's just something that happens.
It is. And I don't know, like, if I anticipate it or expect it, but just know that if it happens, there's no rules in place or anything like that that says that Wes Johnson can't be doing that and taking some of LSU's players to Georgia.
No, and I mean, Jay Johnson has proven that he is a transfer portal ace. So if there are staff openings, he's gonna fill them. I think that's a good segue into another bite that we have from Jay Johnson, because, you know, the pitching we saw last weekend, that doesn't necessarily mean that's kind of the go-to set of arms that we might see this week. And I thought Jay's comments were pretty interesting on that front.
And one of my messages after the game on Monday was, there's guys that didn't pitch this weekend that if we want to do the things we want to do and accomplish it, they're going to have to pitch, you know, whether it's this weekend or hopefully beyond that, for us to be where we want to be. And I have great confidence in those guys. Like, you know, I mean, Blake Money has pitched really well down the stretch, and it just, you know, just didn't line up last weekend. And then you have to cover yourself, and the benefit of getting to that 2-0 spot is if you do get tripped up in a game, that you have guys. And we were in a great spot if it got to a game seven there with, you know, Coleman and Money, and we felt like matched up really well with Oregon State. We liked where we were at, and you know, the offense producing the way that it did in game six allowed us some flexibility to be patient with those guys and then reset them. And that's not always a bad thing too. This time of year, you know, if you can get a pitcher a little bit of a break, the next time out, they give it a chance to be pretty good. And I'm excited about the guys we didn't use that we could use this week.
Yeah, and I think that's the big change from when you go from the regional to the super regional. At the regional, you can play, you know, as many as, what, five games, six games. And here, it's three games maximum.
Kentucky played five games.
Right, and that's what I was about to say. So we're going to have Hunter Shelton, Kentucky reporter for Sports Illustrated, on next hour to kind of break down what the Wildcats are looking at from a rest perspective, because they are in much worse shape. Because not only did they play five games, they played three consecutive elimination games. And that's, you can't leave anything in the cupboard. You can't plan ahead when you're in those games. So, you know, they're not just coming in with a rest deficit. They're coming in with a major rest deficit.
And that's why getting in the winner's bracket is so essential in regional play. Like, with that double elimination bracket, you got to avoid it as much as possible, getting into the loser's bracket and having to play those extra games, because you can gash your pitching staff very quickly.
Yeah, and so you're talking about Javen Coleman, Blake Money. You know, these are names that we didn't see come out. And what Jay Johnson said was basically, you know, if Oregon State did win that game, LSU felt very good about its prospects to come out on Monday and win, because Oregon State's pitching staff, they were gassed on the Monday game.
I think it's actually going to be pretty interesting to see how Jay kind of lines it up. I don't think you're going to get Paul Skeens for nine innings in game one against Kentucky. If
sure
you do,
nice.
Then you are set. But I'm not anticipating that. So I'm imagining who's the first guy out of the bullpen for that first game, that all-essential game one that you need to take. And I'm kind of like racking my brain, because Jay was talking about, oh, I'm really excited for some of the guys that we didn't use this past weekend. It seemed like he used all basically the premier guys in that bullpen this past weekend, between Griffin Herring, Gavin Guidry, Nate Ackenhausen. Riley Cooper was a starter, but he's still a bullpen guy all season long. The only guy that comes to mind that they didn't really use that could probably see some kind of play this weekend, in my opinion, is maybe Javen Coleman.
Yeah.
But outside of that, I don't know, Jeff. There's not many bullpen guys that I think you're really trusting in high leverage moments that aren't names that I just listed out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he did make sure to mention Blake Money by name.
I think that's true.
You know, I don't think that's a coincidence. And, you know, I think he's getting him ready, right? One thing I will mention, and I thought this was really interesting at the time, and I'm interested to see if he goes back to this, is when Paul Skeens was getting into a little bit of trouble late in that game, Thatcher Hurd was warming up in the bullpen.
Yeah,
so,
I imagine they'll probably do what they did this past weekend, meaning that they'll have Ty Floyd start game two and then have Thatcher ready to go out of the bullpen. We talked to Cokie Riley before the regional play started, and he said that that was always a real possibility that they could use Thatcher Hurd in that all-important game two. Well, if you're in a winner-take-all, like you're not even a winner-take-all, like a win-in-advance game two, if you win game one with Paul Skeens on the mound, then you might see the same exact thing where you throw Ty Floyd for however many innings he starts, and then you have Thatcher Hurd ready to come out of the bullpen and close it out to send LSU to Omaha. So I think that's probably what they'll try and do, and then they'll have, once again, most if not all of their bullpen guys ready to go for a winner-take-all game three, meaning the Griffin Herrings, the Nate Ackenhausens, the Riley Coopers of the world. Because if you start with game one, Paul Skeens, you're expecting to go at least six or seven innings, and then you have top-of-the-line relief guys ready to go on Saturday. But if you get to that winner-take-all game three, you have a game day of rest in between where guys that may have thrown, you know, an inning or so on Saturday can come back in a winner-take-all game three because you have Ty Floyd and Thatcher Hurd to throw all nine innings on Sunday.
Yeah, I will also say that so Thatcher basically threw a full start on Sunday.
Effectively.
So I don't know if he'd even be available on Saturday because that would be, you know, a short rest for a starter. You should be get a full week. So I would guess that he would prefer to not have to go that route.
I imagine you'll probably see Gavin Guidry, maybe Griffin Herring, maybe Nate Ackenhausen out of the bullpen.
Although Ackenhausen struggled. I don't know if, you know, I think he might have burned some of that trust a little bit in that game.
Yeah.
One thing that I thought was interesting is he brought back Gavin Guidry in back-to-back days. So if you're wondering how confident they are in being able to use him multiple times throughout the series, I think that was kind of getting him ready for that.
I think they're trying to mold him into that closer role.
Oh, 100%.
So, I mean, he got the last, you know, three outs in the first game and then the last two outs in the winner-in-advance move game. So, I think that Gavin Guidry would probably be the guy I'd expect to see Saturday out of the bullpen if Paul Skeens does in fact not go all nine innings like he did last week. I mean, Jeff, he very well might, depending on how the game goes, because, you know, we already kind of previewed the matchup of Skeens versus Kentucky, and I saw this actually online. Some people were saying, oh, like Kentucky had some success against Skeens in that game. He gave up four runs. People forget that LSU had gotten off to like a 14-1 start in that game, and Skeens was just trying to get outs. Like,
he also had 13 strikeouts.
Exactly, but that's what I'm saying is that he wasn't exactly trying to preserve his ERA. He was just trying to get as many outs as he could. With Skeens in this matchup, I think, once again, if you look at Kentucky, they're a small ball team that really thrives on walks, singles, stolen bases, and bunts. They play the West Coast offense that Jay Johnson is familiar with having time in Nevada and Arizona. But when you're facing a guy like Paul Skeens that gives up less than a base runner per inning, that's a really good matchup for LSU. And I'll keep saying that. I think despite what you saw in that first game where Skeens did give up, I think, four runs in seven innings against Kentucky, I think Skeens still matches up very well against Kentucky.
Yeah, they also won that game 16-6.
Exactly, but that's what I'm saying.
Right.
They got off to like a 10-1 or
run
like
them.
14. Exactly. But they got off to such a massive start that Skeens wasn't necessarily trying to destroy him at the plate. He was just trying to get out.
No, he did. I think he was doing similar things to what he did against Tulane. Occasionally, you know, you'll leave one and they'll run into it. You know, when you're throwing 99, sometimes you just put a bat on the ball and it's going to leave the yard, especially when the wind's blowing out like it was at Alex Box Stadium last weekend.
The real biggest key in this matchup is preventing errors.
Yep.
Like just being sound on the infield, because you're going to see a lot of infield balls. You're going to see balls hit to Tommy White. You're going to see balls hit to Jordan Thompson, Gavin Dugas. Having Trey Morgan at first base is the ideal situation.
He saves
for this.
At least one run a game.
He's incredible at first. The stretches, the catches that he makes. I mean, you can't have a better first baseman defensively in college baseball. But when you're looking at the Wildcats stats, some of the numbers kind of pop out to me. 91 stolen bases in 120 attempts, Jeff. I mean, that is incredible. They have four different guys with at least 17 steals this season.
You know what I think is worth mentioning is the one thing that I think went wrong for LSU in that series is Hayden Travinsky couldn't stop anything behind the plate. The ball got to the backstop over and over again. I don't know what was happening.
But Travinsky's definitely gotten more solid, I think, recently. I mean, there were some pass balls, but I think Jay kind of also attributed that recently to like the pitchers more than Travinsky himself.
Sure.
I think the one game that they lost in that weekend series, and you can kind of look back to, three errors.
Yep.
That's the big deal. Like, if you keep Kentucky from getting those free base runners, meaning walks and errors, then there's not much they can do. they're not a power hitting team. They're like 12th in the SEC in slugging percentage, and it's like under 500. I think it's like 440 or something like that. So they get on base. They have a high on base percentage because they get walks, they get singles, they get infield hits because they got speed, and then their OPS is good as well. But as long as you keep them off the base paths early and often, they're not comfortable. That's really kind of what I'm trying to say.
Another thing that I wonder is how long is Jay going to let Paul go? He went 124 pitches on last Friday against Tulane. I think that's going to be Kentucky's game plan, is let's see how early we can get him out of the game and then try to make hay on the bullpen.
Yeah, I agree. But the whole thing with Skeens throwing 124 pitches was he threw it last Friday, and this game's going to be on Saturday, so he's got an extra day of rest. I think Jay's going to let him go as long as he can. I think once you get to those later innings, if Skeens starts to show some signs of fatigue, then that's maybe when you go out and get him. But, I mean, this guy is just – he's a horse, Jeff. I trust him on the mound as long as he can go.
Yeah, he's getting hit with line drives. He doesn't even notice. Just plunks
off. Snagging a quick double play.
And then that highlight of him catching the ball between his legs, that's wild.
It's incredible.
Yeah. All right. What are your predictions for the Super Regional? Starts tomorrow, LSU Kentucky, 2 p.m. You can catch it all here on WWL. Jump in the Okinawa Jewelers Talking text line 504-260-1870. Tell us what you think. Coming right back with more sports talk. Jeff Nowak and Charlie Long on WWL.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.